Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. On this amazing, amazing morning in September. Wow. Pardon me. First show of September. Incredible. I am your hostess, Julie Anderson, aka the Brain Lady, Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I am so excited to bring to you the great topic that we have today on your brain and forgiveness. Amazing information that's come out over the last couple of years on literally what is going on in your brain when you forgive and when you hold on to things. So we're going to cover a lot of that information. I have a couple of things that I want to state first. One is an apology for anyone who is listening live right now in the morning. We just had last night, as my listeners know, I am a California. I am here in Northern California. And summertime is just the, we have this problem with California fires. Along with our sunshine comes a lot of dry heat. And that creates just a perfect storm for fires. And that is exactly what we have just been tormented with this summer. And last night, we just had, I should say yesterday afternoon, we had just break out, as a crow flies, probably 30 miles from us, from where I live, maybe even less, again, as a crow flies, as smoke moves. And we are just inundated with smoke right now. So if I cough, I definitely apologize for that. I've been sneezing and coughing all morning long due to the smoke inhalation in the air. So I apologize for that to my live listeners. As always, I will try to remove any of that in post production for anyone who's listening to this as a podcast later on. So if you hear any of that, my apologies. My second is because we're talking about a subject that crosses over to a lot of physical potential for physical ailments, as well as a lot of psychological issues based on, I'm going to really, you know, put forth the neuroscience, but it bleeds over into these other areas. So strongly talking about this topic, I want to always emphasize with this program and with other program that the contents of this show are, I try to just bring forward the neuroscience, the research that the researchers have done. I present that to my listeners. And anything that I say on here is really my perspective. It's what I get jazzed about and excited about. And I don't want anyone to ever think that it's being given as medical advice or psychological advice. So if you're under the care of a medical practitioner, any type of a therapist of any kind, make sure that anything, you know, tell them, hey, I heard this really cool thing on the Brain Lady Speak show. What do you think? That's important. Always discuss what your therapist, your doctor, your medical practitioner feels about something before you make any changes in anything that you are doing. I really want to put that strong disclaimer out there in the beginning. I love my listeners and I want them to benefit from the information, but I certainly don't want them to make any rash decisions based on something that they hear me say on the program. I want them to always discuss that with any medical practitioner whose care they are under. All right, with that in mind, there it is. Sorry about that. Let's talk about this. The brain and forgiveness. Why letting go is so incredibly, incredibly important. You guys know I am a brain geek, and what I love to do is be able to look at scientific proof behind different topics, and that is what I'm going to be sharing with you today. I received a newsletter from my mentor, someone that I love dearly. You should follow her. You should get on her email list. She is absolutely amazing. Her name is Arlene Taylor. She is at arlenetaylor.org. She runs the company called Realizations, Inc. She is just an absolutely amazing woman. She has probably taught me a third of what I know in terms of the brain-personality connection and the brain. And she is one of those individuals that got me fired up at the very beginning about the brain. Love her. Just love her, love her. So I think everyone who listens to me should absolutely follow Arlene. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And if you're ever in an area where she happens to be speaking, you do whatever you can to get to see her because she's just that great. Anyway, she, in her newsletter, the reason why I came up with the thought to do this particular show on the brain and forgiveness, she was talking about this, to forgive or not to forgive. Can you afford to be unforgiving is the topic of the article. And I'm going to share some of the thoughts that she shared in this article, but I'm also going to really, as you know, dive into some of those white papers and some of the real neuroscience that has come out of this field to help us understand in terms of our physical health, in terms of our actual brain wiring, what happens in our brain when we forgive and what happens in our brain when we don't forgive, right? So we know that everyone goes through hurtful events, harmful things. One of the things that I say to people all the time, it's kind of one of my quotes, is that there is nothing more damaging to an individual's self-esteem or feelings of self-worth than the insignificant things said to them by significant people in their lives. Let me repeat that. There's no greater damage to you as an individual, your self-esteem or your feeling of self-worth, than the insignificant things said to individuals or said to you by significant people in your lives. You can be walking down the street and some stranger can yell out a negative comment about your looks or the way you walk or anything in general, right? And you can, most of us anyways, can pretty much slough it off. It's like, yeah, whatever. But if that same comment is made to us by a parent, by a sibling, by a grandparent, by a teacher, right? Teachers have profound effects on the self-esteem of the children in their classroom. By a teacher, by anyone who plays a significant role in your day-to-day, your day-to-day life, that can do huge damage to your view, to your feeling of self-worth and self-esteem. And a lot of that is going to have to do with the pain that you hold on to, connected to, I'm saying to an awful lot, connected to the original painful statement or situation, right? So in response to these painful emotions, individuals, then you may react with anger, hostility, perhaps a desire to revenge, or, you know, you're an adult, you're in your 40s, and you still hate your second grade school teacher, right? You know, you see where I'm getting with this? Sometimes these are underlying feelings, underlying rumination of negative emotion that we don't even realize is there. And this is really important because you know, I've given, you know, shows or done shows in the past about the effect of negative emotions and how damaging it can be to your health. And these anger, lack of forgiveness is right there with one of those negative emotions. In studies, so one particular study that I'm going to refer to a couple of times, it was published in the Frontiers in Human Neuroscience. If you would like this reference, again, it's a white paper, so it's got a lot of technical stuff in it. But if you would like the reference, shoot me an email at info@brainladyspeaker.com. info@brainladyspeaker.com. And we will forgiveness reference in the subject box. One of my assistants or myself will shoot you a link to this so you can actually look at this article. So we know that the negative emotions will cause all kinds of damage to your health. And this particular study quoted a lot of other studies. Negative effect of chronic emotions erode your health, according to Who and Goober, a paper published in 2008, Alter Cardiovascular Reactivity by Holt and Linson in 2008, Impoverished Sleep Quality, in other words, poor sleep, Stimulate the Production of Stress-Related Hormones, such as cortisol, again, something we've done a lot, we've covered a lot on the Brain Lady Speak show, being associated over time with the development of clinical conditions such as depression, lots of negative things, because remember, lack of forgiveness basically means that you're angry, you're not happy, you're harboring something, a negative emotion for someone, and this is going to have this whole host of negative things going on in your brain and in your body, because it all starts in the brain. It all starts in that all too beautiful and oftentimes complicated emotion center in the brain. Now, forgiveness, on the other hand, according to this study, was associated with positive emotional states as compared to unforgiveness. Granting forgiveness was associated with activations in a brain network involved in theory of mind, empathy, and regulation of affect through cognition, which comprised of the right inferior parietal regions and the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, in other words, different parts of your brain. Their results uncovered the neural basis of the reappraisal-driven forgiveness and to extend data on emotional regulation to the resolution of anger and resentment following negative interpersonal events. In other words, what they found in basic English is that forgiveness is good for you. That literally it alters your brain chemistry in a positive way when you forgive, when you open-heartedly forgive. And again, if you want this reference, it's wonderful. It's very technical. It is basically a white paper, right? So it has graphs and a lot of information about the actual study and the actual portions of the brain that are involved and how they react and how they change. I like this. I love quotes. Maybe I got this from Arlene Taylor, because Arlene uses quotes. And these are some of the quotes that she has in her article that I encourage you to go connect with and get. Forgiveness, Edward Hollowell, MD, in his book, Dare to Forgive, says, forgiveness is a gift you give to yourself and to the people who love you. Okay? It's something you give to yourself. Harboring resentment, harboring anger about something that somebody else has done to you in the past is the most damaging to who? Not to them, not to the other people. It's most damaging to you, to your brain, and therefore to your sight, to the way you think, to the way you interact with other people. So it affects your relationships. It affects your health. So this is something that is so powerful. It is so, so powerful, because it puts the power in your hands and takes it away from the person that hurt you. So this starts to get really, really deep. Are you following me on this? It takes the power away from the perpetrator of whatever it is that hurt you, that made you angry, and it puts the power in your hands when you forgive. Because I've said this for many years to individuals that I've talked to on the subject. When you are harboring anger about something that somebody else did to you, 9 times out of 10, that person that did whatever it is, whether it was just offend you by a statement or it goes back into history and serious abuse, either way, they don't care. If they cared, they would not have done it in the first place. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, just general arguments, although it could be just a general argument with your neighbor, right? And maybe they do care, but 9 times out of 10, the other person doesn't care. They've moved on, or it's bringing them joy to see you continue to ruminate and hurt about it. So the power is 100% in your hands. Okay? Get this? Some great other quotes. Some definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness involves the process of giving up your right to retaliate toward an offender or causing to feel resentment or ceasing to feel resentment against the offender. That is a quote that Arlene has here in her paperwork. Dennis Marcus, PhD, says forgiveness can be defined as the peace and understanding that come from blaming that which has hurt you less, taking the life experience less personally, and changing your grievance story. In other words, changing your internal thought process. Valerie Harper, we all know her, actress, right? She says, forgiveness is giving up the wish that things could have been different. Water under the bridge, people. Water under the bridge. C.R. Strahan says, forgiveness has everything to do with relieving oneself of the burden of being a victim. Ooh, that's a good one. Let me repeat that. Forgiveness has everything to do with relieving oneself of the burden of being a victim, letting go of the pain, and transforming oneself from victim to survivor. Whoa, I like that. I like that. Do you get it? Do you see where the power lies? Something horrible, something bad could have happened to you that caused you pain. That actual incident, that actual episode is not in your hands, is not in your control. But how you react to it is 100% in your hand. Arlene Taylor herself says that you choose to think about something else. When you forgive, you choose to think about something else rather than harbor resentment in your working memory. You refrain from repeatedly bringing up the incident to yourself or others and rehearsing all the gory details. Here's the point. You move from being victim, having the victim mindset, to a survivor mindset. Maya Angelou, love her, lots of amazing quotes that came from that. She says, we cannot change the past, but we can change our attitude towards it. Uproot guilt and plant forgiveness. Tear out arrogance and seed humility. Exchange love for hate, thereby making the present comfortable and the future promising. Wow. I like that. I like that. I love quotes. Don't you love quotes? It's been an entire show, right? Going over different quotes and those, the deeper meaning of those, right? So let's get back to some of the neuroscience. Of what goes on in your brain. So our basal ganglia in our brain is where a lot of the forgiveness, when we are forgiving, activates. Our brain actually has the ability to re-experience peace, gratitude, hope, joy. If you replace recalling these negative feelings, these negative things with very positive things. Again, power in your hand. It's important that we, rather than recycle guilt, that you replace those feelings with being worthy of care without demands for your change of condition. In other words, you stop when you're ruminating, especially if these negative things that have been said to you by negative people or significant people in your lives, right? If you ruminate those in your brain, they're continuing to break down your feeling of self-worth. But if you change that, you alter that. As she says, forgiveness literally alters the brain's wirings away from distortions brought about by the past and beyond fears that limit the future. It leads from moves from misery, if I could read, of a broken promise to the wellness that builds new, here's a key, builds new neuron. It leads from misery to a broken promise to wellness that builds new neuron pathways, which creates physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Okay, from the brain's perspective, forgiveness takes far more than just letting go. It takes deliberate decisions to move beyond the other person's judgment of you. You are replacing the sad or disappointing encounter with memories of events that stroke healing. You are telling your brain to shift its focus. The willingness to drop any need to blame diminishes your need to explain your perspective, right? You're not having to defend yourself. You let go of the situation. When you let go of the situation, there's no more defense needed. You can move on to something positive. A brain forgives as a commitment to understand the other side, to feel empathy for the other person, or to regain compassion for a person you care about who hurt you. This is so incredibly powerful. I'm going to get into some of my own personal experiences once I go through some of the brain stuff, right? Here, I want to talk about, okay, forgiveness brain forgiving brain's fuel and conditional love. How so? The sorrow or the sadness or the stress actually changes the brain's amygdala. Now, we've talked a lot about the amygdala in the past and how the amygdala becomes hyperactive when you are under stress or when you are feeling a lot of negative emotions, because that's its job is to protect you. So they can actually scan the brain when these negative emotions are taking place, and the amygdala is on fire. It's on fire with activity. It's eating up a lot of oxygen. Pardon me again, a lot of oxygen, a lot of micronutrition, a lot of glucose. It is working hard. It's something that you want to calm. You don't want it to be red with you know, burning activity. You want it to be calm. And forgiveness allows the amygdala to calm, right? It also, you are training your brain to pull together, because you're rewiring your brain. You're literally rewiring it. When you start to look at perspectives differently, you start to remember the emotions of the situation slightly differently. So when you start to train your brain to do that, to look from other perspectives, you can fairly rapidly bounce out of a situation. Now, granted, there's a huge difference between true forgiveness, condoning bad behavior. That's not what we're talking about. We're not saying that if you were seriously hurt, if you were abused, if you were a victim of some kind of a crime, if you were a victim of serious abuse as a child or even as an adult, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, any of those things, I don't want to give the impression that I'm talking, oh, this is real easy to let go. It's not easy to let go. And understand that the brain, when we're talking about the activity in the different brain regions, we're not talking about justifying somebody else's behavior. Forgiveness doesn't do that. Activating the proper brain reasons is not absolving another person of their crime. It's not waiving your right for an apology or your right for some type of compensation if compensation is due. All right? It is just simply understanding that you are controlling your brain. Right? Being forgiving is also not forgetting. Our brains don't forget. Believe it or not, our brains are like steel traps. Even though we can't recall where we put our keys, right? Our brain still actually has that information wired there. It is there. It is present. And I hear the tunes that are telling me I need to go to my commercial break and acknowledge my sponsors. So with that, join me after the break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindset. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Hey everyone, this is Brain Lady Julie Anderson, and I want to talk to you about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the Your Best Mind Certification Program. It is with this program that we are changing lives one brain at a time. You see, it's our vision that by providing an educational and uplifting message to individuals about their unique brain gifts, we can help them to maximize the power of their brain and personality. Not in a metaphysical way, but with science. This is the core of what we teach at Your Best Mind. However, as you can imagine, taking this life-changing message to the world is a very large undertaking. And that's why we created the Your Best Mind Certification Program. This program is a compilation of over two decades of training, research, hands-on application, and preparation by yours truly, Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I am the owner, founder, and CEO of Your Best Mind, and I have put together the gems of my education to create a remarkable program to pass on to those who are up for the challenge. So if you're up for the challenge and you want to help me to improve the world one brain at a time, please shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com. Put the word certification in the subject box and we'll talk. And you can help me make amazing differences and help people to improve their lives, their businesses, and their relationships with the Your Best Mind Certification Program.
Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show with Julie Anderson. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. We are here talking about the brain and forgiveness. And before we went to break, we talked a little bit about some of what goes on in the brain, different portions of the brain, the amygdala, prefrontal cortex, the right side of the brain, different things that happen in your brain. And we know, and I've talked before in the past, what negative emotions do to the body. And so we know all of the negative things that come out of it. And we were talking about how the power of allowing something in the past to control your present and your future is completely in your hands. It's completely in your hands. So there are a couple of things that, and I think this is, again, wonderful. I talked about Arlene Taylor. She's my mentor. In many ways, I love her very much. She has just given me some wonderful gems of her brain, and my brain loves her brain. Something that she brings out in that article that I referred to before, To Forgive or Not to Forgive, again, ArleneTaylor.org, she brings out that how it's important to remember that repressing a memory is not the same as forgiving. This is really important, okay? Repressing a memory is not the same as forgiving. Because if you're repressing that memory, if you're going, oh, I just don't want to think about it, you still have a negative emotion attached to that memory. And remember, your brain runs 24/7, it never stops. So even if you're not cognitively thinking about their memory, it doesn't mean that it's not ruminating in your brain and that your brain is not experiencing negative firings due to that. So she brings out here, I'm just going to quote her. She says, because it is painful to remember, you may have tried to deny or repress your memories, putting them out of your mind or keeping yourself extremely busy in an attempt to forget. It can be, though, as if an attempt to hide the memory from your conscious awareness. It can be thought of as an attempt to hide the memory from your conscious awareness. They are alive and well in your subconscious, however, waiting to resurface at any moment. Conscious consequences of repressing memory may include, she talks about the mental energy, literally the glucose burned in your brain of trying to suppress that memory. You fail to move through the natural grief process, which that is what moves you back to a healthy emotional tone, right? And it can create the floodwaters, so to speak, of your emotions can continue to rise because it's still ruminating in your subconscious. So when this happens, you can actually get to a point where that, as she puts it, the dam can break metaphorically at any time, allowing all the unresolved emotion to overwhelm you, right? Nervous breakdown time. Something else that she says, repressing is bad. You tend to forget the lessons you learned and the wisdom that you may have gained from a particular situation. You forget to create and implement appropriate boundaries. Big point here, because the result is that you become that victim again and again and again. And you will continue to put yourself into situations that allow you to be taken advantage of to where you get hurt over and over again. All right. You can also develop the physical symptoms that we've talked about, negative emotions, because the body remembers, right? As well as the amygdala is going to, like I said, it's going to keep kicking in gear because the body remembers, your subconscious remembers, and the memories that are not dealt with appropriately will be expressed through illnesses in your body. Okay. Another danger she talks about is ruminating and rehearsing. She says you can get in the habit of ruminating to yourself in your brain and or rehearsing to others in living color, she says, going over all the gory details, sensing the emotions and re-experiencing the pain and the consequences of the ruminating. And there's a difference between ruminating and recalling. So ruminating and rehearsing is allowing those feelings to get agitated to a high point again and again. Recalling and releasing is something completely different. She says that the ruminating, you extend the stress process, flooding the brain with those stress chemicals that we've talked about before, cortisol, adrenaline, dopamine. As adrenaline increases, so do the levels of dopamine. This may temporarily help you to feel better because dopamine helps you feel better, but you can become addicted. Have you ever seen this? You can become addicted to the adrenaline and the dopamine and trigger their release through ruminating and rehearsing. Have you ever been around someone who does this? They actually get almost this high from constantly going over things that have happened in the past. You can tend to keep your mind occupied with an event, situation, or loss, which can keep you stuck in the past and can derail you from moving successfully forward. You can wear yourself and your listeners out by the repetitive and seemingly endless rehearsal of what has happened that rarely leads to resolution. Okay. Now, what about recalling and releasing? Because any of you who have ever gone through therapy know, or watch television shows on therapy, know that one of the benefits of seeing a therapist is just hearing yourself talk. It's literally being able to express your feelings and get them out of your head. Get them out of your head, do an emotional brain dump, and move on. And that is that recalling and releasing, which is super important. Arlene Taylor talks about, she says, you can recall only the key facts when it is important to do so. When the thought pops into your mind, you choose whether or not you want to keep thinking about it or change your mental focus. If you need to recall something about an event or a situation, you do so, but in a somewhat detached manner, more like an observer. You avoid re-experiencing all of the emotion, reliving all of the gory details, becoming immersed again in that pain and pumping out that adrenaline and dopamine like we just talked about. When you do this, you are able to recall the lessons you learned and the new perspective boundaries without flooding your body with all of those stress chemicals. Your mind is freed to primarily get on with the business of living a successful and productive life rather than ruminating about the past and getting stuck in that rehearsal. You avoid exhausting yourself and others through endless rumination, and you reinforce a larger, more objective and balanced view of the event or situation. Okay, very important. Reframing. I like this. I like the reframing idea. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, for every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind. You give it up. Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities may have crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. You shall begin in serenity and live and with too high a spirit to be encumbered with your old nonsense. Arlene says, have you ever reframed a so-so painting only to discover that the artwork now looks different and quite exquisite? Turn that reframing metaphor into the brain. Reframing a painful event or situation can help you view what happened in a different perspective. By moving it, figuratively speaking, from one frame to another, one can often look at the experience less from the perspective of pain and more from the perspective of being just one small snapshot of your entire life's album. Reframe a painful event or situation and view what happened from a different perspective. Sometimes you may now see a gift be able to actually identify a gift or of something valuable you may have learned, or even a glimpse of a silver lining, right? Try different, she says, try different frames. There are many options. Pick the best possible frame to create the perspective that fits best with the whole of your lifetime and desire and health. When you stand back and view the picture in its new, sometimes larger frame, ask yourself, what do I want for my life? Do I want to be stuck in a frame, living with rehearsing and grievance on a daily basis? Or do I want to be living in a different frame, acknowledging what happened, but no longer in bondage to the person who caused the pain? Amazing. She goes on in the rest of her article to talk about forgiving oneself, which is pretty heavy. I might revisit this on a future show, but we don't have time to get into all of the details with that because I want to move on to something productive. So we've talked about the neuroscience. We've talked about really what it does. This is something that I emphasize so much to so many people. Again, I said it earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. When you are continuing to allow a past episode or something someone did to you in the past to make you angry today, they don't care. It's only damaging you. So what are some of the ways that you can reframe? What are literally what you can go home and you can do, or you can check with your therapist to do? Because some of it we hold on in our brain. We A, may not realize we're still holding on to it. And B, we don't always realize what it's doing to our day-to-day life and how it can creep up unexpectedly, completely from the blue. So I'm going to share with you real quick an experience that I had. And it just blew me away. It blew me away because I had decided, I've mentioned it before, my past is a little out there. I was raised in a very dysfunctional family with an abusive alcoholic father who was very sick in many, many ways. And I had decided, now this was way before I learned any of the information on the brain, but I had decided at a very young age, 12 years old to be exact, you want to hear that story. Maybe I'll share it in detail in a future program. I don't have the time to do it today. But I had decided when I was about 12 years old that I no longer needed my father's approval to be okay, to be whole, to be accepted, to be a good person. I didn't need it anymore. And that was a very powerful protection for me because there were a lot of yucky things that went on in my family. I thought that I was fully strongly in this place. And I went on to be a fairly strong adult woman, right? Fairly self-assured. Well, fast forward to, I guess I was probably in my 30s. I loved my 30s. I'm in my early 50s now. Emphasis on early. I'm just saying. I was in my 30s and I loved the confidence. I loved the powerful feeling that I had in my 30s. I didn't doubt myself at all for anything anymore. It's not like I was overly cocky. I don't feel, maybe I was, you'd have to talk to people who knew me then, right? But I just, you know, I had my kids. I was raising my kids. I was homeschooling my kids. I had started my studies on the brain. I was just feeling great. I loved my 30s. One of the business things that we did at this point in time in my life is we began to raise emus. Now, for those of you who don't know what an emu is, it's E-M-U. They are from Australia. They are a flightless bird. They are a smaller version, if you will, of the ostrich. And there was this surge during that period of time in the late 80s, it was mid-90s. Right? It was the mid-90s. Maybe I was in my 40s. Anyways, whenever it was, there was this huge surge of excitement about emus. Lots of medicinal things. They have great fat that the Aborigines would use to heal wounds and to heal scars and burns. The meat is very similar to beef, believe it or not, only it's very lean, so it's much healthier for you. And they have this beautiful leather. So anyways, we were raising them, and so we were trying to help to, you know, promote the end product. And I was doing a event at the local, I should say the state fair. It was down in Calexpo in Sacramento, California. Who happens to walk past our booth? I've got all of these little wallets and business card holders and different things with the leather all, you know, laying out on the table. I have, and they were for sale. They had price tags on them. They were for sale. And of course, you're talking about a brand new industry with very rare so the cost was pricey on them. We were also serving the meat for tastings to get people used to emus. Well, who happens to walk by but my father? Now, I haven't had a whole lot of contact with my father in my adult life. I don't hold anything against him. It is what it is. I'm going to talk about that, how that worked in my brain. But I didn't realize that I still felt pain because of the past until he made a comment to me that he has a lot to do with leather. He loves working with leather. He looked at the prices of this emu leather products and he just started ripping into them. These are way too overpriced. They're never going to sell. You'll never have an industry like this. As soon as he walked away from the booth, I instantly had this emotional surge, which now I know was cortisol and all of these hormones surge into my body. And I was going to break down and cry. And I'm not a big crier, people, okay? Not in public. And I ran outside and I'm breathing deep and I almost feel like I'm having a panic attack. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? Within probably 60 to 90 seconds, it all became clear to me. That was a gut emotional response that was pulled up from deep in my subconscious that maybe I hadn't let completely go of the pain of lack of approval from my father that I thought I had. And I was instantly in that moment able to go, this is what it is, A, recognize where the emotions were coming from, and B, reframe it. That is his opinion. It doesn't change my value of as a person. That was just strictly his opinion. And I pretty fairly within 5 minutes, I was back in the building and absolutely, you know, back at emotional stability. But these things can happen, right? They can happen. And I want to emphasize that it's normal that these things happen. It's what you do after that. It's how you handle those situations that are going to make a difference, okay? Another person's opinion is based on their experience, their brain thumbprint, their life, what led them to where they are at any particular point that they interacted with you in a negative way. We have about the brain personality connection, the brain personality connection assessment. If you're interested in that, shoot me an email, put assessment in the info or in the subject box. This is so important. This is the power of this personality assessing tool because it digs into the brain. It is the most powerful personality assessing tool or way to look at personalities that is on the market today because it is the way their brain is made up. So my father's opinion was based on his brain print. It was based on his life, his experience, what portion of the brain he uses with a great amount of ease, how his brain processes incoming data the most, right? His culture, how he was raised, abuses. My father comes from a very long line of heavy, heavy alcoholics. Right? I mean, I haven't even attempted to do it, but I'm sure if you tested it, they could go all the way back, you know, 500 years or longer of heavy alcoholics. There's mental illness in my father's family. The stories go, his uncle committed suicide, hung himself in a barn. There's a lot of mental and emotional issues that my father himself has. So every single interaction that he has with another person is going to be coming from that place in his brain. Does this make sense? So understanding his perspective, looking at what must have been in his head that triggered the things that he did, helps you to understand it's him, it's not me. That incident at the fairgrounds was him, not me. It doesn't affect my value as an individual, his opinion of what I'm doing. Things that happen in the past, and if it gets into very serious stuff, again, talk with your therapist. If a perpetrator did something negative to you in the past, which my father did, if I allowed that to cause me pain today, the only person I'm hurting is me. It is what it is. And his life experience led him to where he is at this point in time in his life. It's not about me. That's his problem. That's on his shoulders. That's in his brain. Do you get where I'm going with this? So lots of things to dig into with this. A few things I I can type up, you know what, I don't actually have it typed up. I have it in notes because this is something that I talk about when I talk about forgiveness in the brain. But I can definitely type this up as I agree 100% with Arlene Taylor, do that reframing. Think about what their perspective is, what drove them to that point in their life. Again, you're not making an excuse. You're never making an excuse for poor behavior. Understand that. We are simply understanding the reasons that led a person down that path. Okay. That is the portion of empathizing with the other person. In other words, Dr. Swartz, this is something he says. He says, for instance, if your spouse grew up in an alcoholic family, then anger when you have had too many glasses of wine might be more understandable, right? Doesn't mean it gives them the right to be angry, but it does give you the ability to understand where they came from. Reason. Not excuse. Thing that this Dr. Swartz said is let go of expectations. An apology may not change your relationship with the other person, or something that you say to them may not elicit an apology from them. So don't expect it. If you don't expect it, you're not going to be disappointed if you don't get it. Decide to forgive is another one of his suggestions. Once you make that choice, once you literally tell yourself, I am going to forgive, seal that in action. He says, if you don't feel that you can talk to the person who wronged you, write about it. Oh, I love it. Remember, I talk about doing brain dumps all the time. Write about it. Get it out. There's certain people that have the thought process of writing it on a piece of paper and then burning it, letting it go. There is something very cathartic about doing that, right? These are things that need to really actively do in order to move on. Because remember the point of this entire show. Letting go is important because it will affect your health. And you are the only one in control of that, right? Take control of your life. Take control of your emotions and let it go. And it may not come overnight. It may come through journal. Seeking the advice of a professional, you know, whatever it takes. But work on letting it go. Because if you don't let it go, it will eat you up alive. Okay. That is it. It brings us to the end of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I hope this has been informative for you. If you want any information on the Your Best Mind certification program or any of the products and services that I offer with my company, Your Best Mind, shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com or just go straight to the website, yourbestmindonline.com. Check it out. If you are a meeting planner, you like what I talk about here on the Brain Lady Speaks show, you want to explore the thoughts of me coming out and speaking to you and your group, then let me know. Send me an email at info@brainladyspeaker.com or go visit brainladyspeaker.com and check out some of the topics that I have for entrepreneurs, for corporate, for homeschooling parents, and for relationships. Great information you will find there. Follow me on all of the social media outlets. Click, give me some social media love, people. Follow me. Follow the show at brainladyspeaks.com. Click follow on the program, on the show, so that you can get notifications every time I set up a new show. We do the Brain Lady Speaks show Wednesday morning, every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. And 90% of those shows are done live. So follow us. Follow me on Instagram. You can go to Instagram. I am Brain Lady Julie. Twitter, I am @BrainLady. LinkedIn, I am Brain Lady Julie. On Facebook, you can follow me as Julie Brain Lady Anderson or Purple Brain Lady. Technically, the page is facebook.com/purplebrainlady or my business page is Your Best Mind Online on Facebook. So reach out, connect with me, shoot me an email. If you have thoughts about a future show, if you have ideas, people that you think I should have on the program, you've read a book, you've read a white paper, you've read something that you think would be a good fit for me. Maybe you have gems of information that are connected to the brain and improving our life, our business, and our relationships. Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. With that, we are closing up the Brain Lady Speaks show for this beautiful Wednesday morning. And as I like to close out all of my programs, I just want every single person until we meet next week to simply enjoy every moment.
For tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in to The Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson next week and every week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening. This is the EWN Podcast Network.